Hey yo, and here we go. We talk fantasy football. It's the second episode of the season for 2016. I am Mo with
Brett.
Yeah, that's right.
Team Brett.
In case you thought it was going to be different this week,
I know
most of you were hoping.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you keep expecting different. Well, you're probably going to be constantly disappointed.
Yeah, loud Brett. It's a podcast. No Fuck whispering. You. Okay. And on that note, We Talk Fantasy Football is back on the air and in your ear. What are we looking at going into week three here, Brett? What do you think is kind of the trends and the patterns that we're starting to see that you actually feel comfortable that we have enough data on to feel that we can make a solid judgment?
Well, it's interesting because we're starting to see the injuries pile up now. That's a big one. I think what we're starting to see is we're starting to see a lot of good usage patterns. Like, we're starting to see teams that are establishing themselves as, you know, pass first, you know, or run first kind of thing. Teams that you're really going to start seeing, you know, the players, you'll be able to justify those players a little more, or more so you'll be able to not justify certain players more. Like, you know, Antonio Gates, if he was going to play in week three, he's a really strong example because, I mean, I thought that his usage could spike in week two, but it didn't.
Yeah, I think you're definitely right there. This is why, though, I mean, you look at the injuries into the running backs, and this is why we invested so lightly in them ourselves, because that position is just so brutal. The injuries always rack up in that position. So, I mean, if you're replacing a guy, even if you don't have a lot of running back depth, if you're replacing a guy you took in the eighth round, well, at least you're replacing, whoever you get is probably not going to be too far off. Whereas if you're replacing a guy you took in the second round, you're going to be screwed. And further to that, Brett, we made the decision after only 1 week, based on the matchup, to sit Todd Gurley in the one league where we took him, where we drafted, I believe, fourth or fifth overall. We managed to get him. And we won that game. And that's a bold move in week two that anybody would tell you don't make. But the fact is that I think we didn't do our research on the guy properly,
We trusted a couple of early stats rather than really looking at the full breadth of the season that he had last year.
Yeah, but even more to go to that, he will have a hot streak, I'm sure, at some point.
Yep.
And when he does, you either play him or you trade him. When you think it's going to end. But yeah, I mean, you have to be ready to make the bold decisions. We made a lot of bold decisions this last week. Most of those decisions were good. What let us down in the games, and we didn't have a bad week, but we didn't have a great week either. What let us down was the players that you expect to do more and expect to be consistent going and having, you know, poorer weeks, right? Like a Drew Brees didn't do nearly as much for us as we normally would expect. Those are anomalies. You don't worry about that. You don't sit there and say, Russell Wilson's costing me games. Who should I start, Sam Bradford? Or people that are doing that, you're setting yourself up for failure in that it's all about the matchups, but it's also about history and patterns. And a guy like Wilson, they will let him play out of it because in real life, he started slow for several years and gets hotter. And that's what you – if you have a different expectation going into the season – then you've already made the mistake.
Yeah, I think, especially in the case of Russell Wilson, I mean, the truth is, the matchup on paper was spectacular. And so you're good to play him, because if he plays as he could, then absolutely you're going to have a winner. But in truth, he laid an egg. I'm sure a lot of that was due to his ankle. But, you know, I mean, the Rams played a really good defensive game in that case. This is certainly not going to be the norm for him. And, you know, even if you look at it, I don't even think it makes sense to say, like, oh, well, maybe I should have looked at playing somebody else because he was injured. No, because overall, the matchup looked too good and offered too high upside to actually sit.
See, that's what we're really trying to say to you is that when you look at someone like Russell Wilson and we're talking about that, you're going, oh, he cost me two games now. Okay, he didn't. He had two poor games, but if you had good players elsewhere, you would win. You know, because you're always going to have somebody who doesn't perform. And hopefully no more than one or two on a roster per game. But number one, he didn't. But number two, that's what he did last game. You're so worried about what he did before. Worry about what he's going to do next game. Everything that happened, throw it out. Concentrate on what's going to happen this week. That's the biggest thing. So when you get a guy like Dorsett who had this great game in week one and people are picking him up, then he has a bad game in week two and people are dropping him, it's like, look at the matchups. Look at both matchups. Don't concern yourself about last week. Last week was against the Broncos. He's not facing the Broncos this week, so don't act like that's his new norm and the other week was a fluke. Every week is his own unique little, its own unique little world. So look at the little world, and yeah, sometimes a player won't live up to your expectations, but that's, if you're looking at a guy like Russell Wilson and saying what he did past, it doesn't matter. It's what's he going to do this week that matters, not what he did last week.
Yeah, it's really hard because, I mean, it's football. Everybody's getting paid. So, I mean, not everybody's going to be able to go off any given week, and the stats are not always going to be correct. You know, but the thing is that the stats are correct more times than just the random picking of your best players. That's for damn sure.
Absolutely. And you know, I mean, we're always, not always going to agree on things this week. See, I think Odell Beckham Jr. is going to have a huge game against Josh Norman. You think he's going to be shut down?
I'm not saying shut down, but I'm saying he's just going to be a receiver.
Yeah, and I think he's going to have a massive game. And it's those things are, you're basing it on, you know, stats, and you're basing it on judgment, and you're basing it on gut feeling. I do believe, as much as we talk about stats and this type of thing, at the end of the day, your gut feeling, I don't know about you, but for me, it serves me well more often than not. And so I wouldn't ignore that personally either. If everything is even, what's your gut tell you? You're instinctively, if you're studying the league, you're instinctively putting away thoughts and opinions on it, subconsciously even. And those things can come to serve you well as well, right, Brent?
Oh, they do, because, you know, the thing is, we all read. We all go to RotoWorld. We all go to, you know, wherever and read about all the players. Because, you know, as fantasy football, you know, fans, we're not just fans. We're fanatics to a certain degree. You know, we live in that world most of the year. You know, I find that I'm still trying to get data on players and just information just to kind of feed my obsession to a certain degree. But what I get at is that, and I think what you're trying to say is this concept of you read something about somebody, and even if you don't necessarily think that that's going to be a salient piece of information for you later, it does filter into your head. And at some point, that little piece of information will color what you think of that player, whether it be good or whether it be bad, at a certain point when you're trying to make a lineup change or, you know, or anything like that.
Yeah, and your gut's not always going to be right either, but I find my gut is right. And Lord knows my gut is ample. And by the way, salient, excellent word for a fantasy football podcast. I find my gut is often right more than it's wrong. And so I do feel comfortable with that. So I don't ignore the gut. You know, we look at, like I said, we look more at the matchups and the opponents, but we don't ignore the gut. Now, we talked about the injuries, and that's a difficult thing for sure. Because the biggest problem with the injuries, especially early in the season, especially when you're talking about players who are players like, you know, Forrest Whitaker and players like that, or, you know, Drake in Miami and these different players, we don't know really. There's not enough, again, to talk about their history. If they're 1 or 2 years in, you know, whether or not that they're going to get the ball, or it's going to be somebody else coming in off that, and they just got the opportunity because they were the guy who was best for the last game's matchup. Like, you need, if they're replacing somebody, as a general rule, you're going to need 2 games to see what the role is, because the first game you can't even trust.
Yeah, it's funny because when you're seeing the waiver wire right now, what you're seeing is like, because there's the instant reaction from the teams. Like, okay, Adrian Peterson's out, it's Jerick McKinnon. I mean, Jerick McKinnon was drafted in a lot of cases, but there was this instant, like, okay, so Arian Foster's out. Well, Drake was the first guy up. Fozzie Whitaker in Carolina was the first guy up. But the thing is, and so those are the guys that are immediately getting picked up, and they're getting picked up for actually like quite a bit of money. Mm-hmm. People are spending in the blind bidding leagues. People are spending big money on those people. But the funny thing is that now that we've waited, we're into the next week, we're getting closer to the games, and what you're starting to see is that the teams are coming out with, oh, well, we're the Miami Dolphins, we're going to start Jay Ajayi. Oh, we're the Carolina Panthers, you know, we were actually thinking that Cameron Artis Payne was going to be our starter with Fozzie Whitaker backing him up. Now, whether that's true, whether it's not true, I can't say. And exactly like you say, we're not going to know for two games what the usage is going to be. In Miami, it could be a full-blown committee with three running backs.
And it's again, and we know Foster's going to get hurt again, though if somebody made the mistake of dropping him, you would grab him. I know we did once. But again, yeah, that's the difficulty. That's the problem with it. The one where it's easy is Doug Martin, right? I mean, yeah, Jaquez Rogers is probably going to get a few touches, but you know Sims is going to take over and probably get 80% of the touches there.
Yeah,
because you have that history, right?
Yeah.
You have that history, but you don't have that history in these other situations. So all of a sudden, and you don't, especially, again, Miami, the coach is new too. So we don't know how the coach handles this. Those type of things makes it really, really difficult. So, yeah, you don't want to overspend early in the season, but you don't want to. The other thing is, this is blind bidding is more fun. It is. It's more strategy. And we prefer it. But you don't want to overbid. But the other thing is, you don't want to be sitting there at the end of the season with a lot of money left over. Just like you don't want to, in a fantasy draft, have a bunch of money left over because it doesn't carry over. It doesn't do you any good. You should have spent it to try and improve your roster in some way, but not overspending it. And that balance is so hard to find. I don't feel like even after all these years, we've mastered it.
Well, no, because the interesting thing is that for us, we're not early adopters. We're the kind of guys that like to hold back a little bit.
We trust our draft.
So I think that because the thing is that as we've seen from fantasy football over the years, is that so rarely do you get that guy who immediately becomes a starter on your team, or even down the, like, a couple of games later becomes a starter. Like, it just doesn't happen all that much. So for us, that it's that gut reaction to jump on Fozzie Whitaker and spend $300 on him so that you get him. To us, we look at that and we're like, well, that's stupid.
Yeah.
Because you're going based on your gut reaction of like, oh, I better get him. I really need him. And he could wind up doing absolutely nothing. And more importantly, I mean, Stewart, it's not like Stewart is out for the season, so he'll be back. And Whitaker will be reduced to a
And he'll be hurt again, role. Though.
He will be hurt again. And the truth is that, yeah, we don't know. There is an absolute chance that Fozzie Whitaker could wind up starting. There's a chance that Stewart could play a game and then wind up missing the rest of the season. And Fozzie Whitaker could turn out to be an absolute rockin' good get for $300. We don't know that. But from our perspective, we look at it and say, well, I think you're throwing money away in a bad way in this case.
And this is one of the reasons why we say don't panic. I mean, we're not kicking ass here early in the season. We're not losing either. We have a winning record, but we're not destroying it like we were. We believe we're going to get better as the season goes on because this is where we talk about the patterns. And you talk about trust and you talk about just being able to understand it and knowing and seeing what's happening. We're not seeing what's happening in enough cases that we can actually decide, and make a really good judgment. So we're a little hesitant. We're going to trust what we do know and put the other information aside and don't panic and just sit there and try and figure out your best players. And yeah, every week you're going to have, like right now for the next little while, I'll stream anybody playing against the Browns, right? I mean, I'm looking at Jordan Cameron this week. I'm thinking, man, he's available in a bunch of places. I'll just play him because they've given two games in. They've given up a whole ton to tight ends, and again, it's a perfect matchup. Will it turn out? No, but these patterns are on my side. I saw a place where Jared Cook was released. I know, okay. He only got one catch in week one, and he hasn't put up a lot of points. He did have six targets last game, same amount as Cobb, but he didn't put up a lot of points. But then again, Aaron Rodgers threw for like 220 yards, which isn't going to happen this week. And that's the thing is, you look at it and you go, okay, his matchups haven't been good, And now he's got the Saints, who are giving up a ton of points to the tight ends. It's early in the season. You can't guarantee that that's going to be how it's going to stay. But the patterns are on your side, so this isn't the week where you drop him. Like, and again, you're reacting too much. It's, again, coming back to that same thing, reacting too much to what happened as I roll my arms to try to show people. That you're rolling around too much on what happened in the past instead of thinking what's happening in week three. All that matters in week three is week three.
Well,
week two doesn't matter. Week four doesn't matter. Unless on the rare occasion where you've got two guys who you like about the same on a waiver wire, then you look a little bit further ahead on your schedule. But as a general rule, all that matters in week three is week three.
I guess the only thing that it's funny, like you talk about a Jared Cook, and I mean, I suppose if the guy's team was so good that maybe you had a Travis Kelce and he didn't feel like or a Greg Olsen and he didn't feel like he needed Jared Cook, but did need the roster spot for something else, then that's one reason that you would go ahead and drop Jared Cook, because he hasn't played effectively enough. Like, to me, when I look at it, like, here's another guy who hasn't played effectively is Gary Barnage. And now that McCown's out, I look at him and I'm like, you know, I don't care where we drafted him. I think he's a waste of space. I don't think he's going to pick it up. We're gonna gamble on him this week.
Well, we might not. We might go with Cameron in that league. Like, we have options. We might go with the Tammy still. Like, we have options. That's the thing, is he's sitting there. We just didn't feel like we had to panic on the waiver wire.
It's very true.
That's a really weird thing, actually, this year. If you look at the waiver wires, like, I know what you're saying about Barnage, and I'm going, okay, well, who else is going to, Whitehurst going to throw to? Coleman just got hurt. You know, I mean, it's not going to be Terrell Pryor every time. It's Duke Johnson so far hasn't done enough.
I like that you bring up Whitehurst immediately to skip past Cody Kessler.
Oh, come on. It's going to be Whitehurst. It's going to be Kessler's. I mean, if... whatever. Either way, they're going to have to be checking off as much as possible, and that'll be short routes. And we're talking about points per reception. I mean, Barnage might end up with 10 catches for 23 yards. That'll still be 12 points.
That's right.
And that's kind of why I'm looking at the possibility for him. But yeah, it's a weird thing on the waiver wire. That's the one thing that is the biggest anomaly this year. Is, like, coming into it, we felt like there was like four good tight ends, and then a bunch of streaming options, and a few that we just didn't like at all. And it's like, wow, look at the tight ends. And if you look at what's on the waiver wire, the tight ends on the waiver wire are outscoring, you know, the other options. They're outscoring your running backs on the waiver wire. They're outscoring, you know, the top tight ends are outscoring the receivers. I mean, people are picking up Beasley and Crowder and these guys and Royal. And you know what? The tight end, like Tammy and Doyle and these guys have so far in 2 weeks have outscored them. Vance McDonald. And not only that, probably there's a lot of guys on your bench that if you look at it, they probably got about 15 points and these other guys have got 30. I don't think that that's necessarily how it's going to keep going for the season. But I also don't think that it's impossible, being a passing league, as these tight ends become better athletes, that these guys are just going to become less of a tight end and more of just a really good big receiver and who are dangerous in end zone. And so it's something to keep an eye on.
Well, it's very funny because you talk about the tight ends like that. And I think when I look at the tight ends, it's one of those cases where I think so many people, you know, like the names aren't there to a certain degree, right? And so many people are looking at the wide receivers and they're like, well, I have three wide receiver slots to fill, only one tight end slot to fill. So I'm filling those wide receiver slots. Maybe I got a flex. I want to put a receiver in there. I want to be able to get that because the NFL is a passing league. And it's very easy to forget that they do pass to the tight ends. And in some cases, like you say, a lot, like Jacob Tammy, I mean, he's been a great example so far. And a lot of those top, you know, the drafted tight ends, they're not showing up. I mean, Antonio Gates in the first two games, he put up 15.5 points. In a PPR league, that's absolute garbage. Like, there's no point to even holding on to him if he's only going to average 7 points a game, because I can easily pick up a guy on the waiver wire who's probably going to get like four catches for 30 yards, five catches for, you know.
Yeah, streamable players off the waiver wire. And Tammy, again, he has another sweet matchup this week. Watch people just pick him up after another sweet matchup again, you know, this week against the Saints. And then he faces a tough matchup, puts up a donut. And that's, you know, and that's what you got to be watching out for. You got to be the guy that doesn't make that mistake. That's definitely a key thing. You got to be the guy that doesn't make that mistake. But because the matchups have been good for him so far.
Well, and don't be afraid to dig deep either. I mean, just look at last year when we dug deep, picked up Garrett Celek and played him, and it was a great play. You know, you can play Vance McDonald and have it be a great play. A guy that I really like this week is in Philadelphia, Trey Burton.
Mm-hmm.
There's a digging deep play, but I saw him play last week, and he looked actually pretty good for what he is. And the fact is that if he gets targeted and gets like four or five catches, even if he only gets 50 yards, he's still putting up more points than Antonio Gates would.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And you know what? You're sitting there and you're thinking to yourself, I got to play that wide receiver, should be that flex. I understand that. And don't get me wrong. But in a passing league, the tight end might be just as good a flex play. We might be getting to that point where the tight end can be the superior flex play if the matchups are right.
Well, and one thing's for certain, if you were considering playing Eddie Royal in the flex, I mean, that would just be a terrible idea. But if you were, like, the number one thing is that Eddie Royal is so unlikely to score a touchdown. The tight end, way more likely to score a touchdown. So if nothing else, even if that tight end only catches two passes, one of them could be for a touchdown. Eddie Royal might catch three passes, four passes for like 40 yards, and the tight end is still going to wind up outscoring him.
Yeah, so Doyle over Royal is what you're saying.
Doyle over Royal.
That's the subtitle. If we had subtitles on We Talk Fantasy Football, that would be the subtitle for this week. So I think, again, We Talk Fantasy Football is a tight, fast, hard-hitting, full of information, getting you thinking in the right way. That's our goal. Quick podcast, something just it's an appetizer. There's lots of main courses out there, and the main course comes on Sunday. But we'll get into it a little more. We are going to talk about our picks a little bit as we go down, because we're picking against each other to see who does better this year.
Yeah, just as a quick introduction to that, currently I'm sitting at 20 correct. You're sitting at 19 correct. So yeah. we are neck and neck.
Yeah, he's got 20 correct games out of 32, and I've got 19 so far the first 2 weeks. And the Fantasy 15 is something we'll probably introduce maybe even next week is possible, which is every year we follow 15 players, specifically who we have opinions on and had opinions on, to see how accurate we are on our opinions, see how well we can, I was going to say procrastinate.
Ah, prognosticate. There
that's
you go.
The one I that's... went.
Let's go back with that word again.
But that's it. Any final thoughts for week three that you want to tell people to do or not do?
Well, again, like you said, don't panic. I mean, we're going to be taking the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy view of this. You know, grab your towel and don't panic, because there's a lot of reason that you could panic. But as it stands right now, I feel like just because we didn't wind up getting some of these guys that we wanted on the waiver wire, we're not going to be in such a bad place because we didn't jump out. You just don't know who's around the corner. I mean, at a certain point, it'll get to the point where you got to start spending that money. But you never know when that one guy will come out and you're just looking at him like, that is the guy I need right now.
Absolutely.
And that's the guy you spend your money on. When you can fully identify and say, that's the guy.
All right, let's then go OUT on this sucker. Hopefully everybody's going to get out there, get a win this week, hit him with a hind, and have a great weekend. And Brett, this fun final thing I think you like to tell the people.
I like to tell them that we'll see you and we'll beat you.